10 minutes. A pendulum swings for 10 minutes to draw one spiral that's already decaying by the time it finishes. And somebody framed that thing as furniture. Why does that feel like the most interesting piece of technology I've seen all month?
You're talking about Raf Jacob's harmonograph, right? It's wild. But it's not alone. Think about something like the Music Thing Workshop computer, a modular synth you actually have to solder yourself before you can play a note. Or Giorgio Sancristoforo's Homework, which is Mac software dressed up like a 1970s Porto studio and modular synth rack.
Those are all so different, but I get what you mean. It's like the same intentional slowness, the same friction in three different costumes. Is that form moving forward, or is it just catching its breath?
Exactly. We're going to get into that. There's also a great Design Observer piece by Ellen McGirt that traces this whole pattern back further than you'd expect. This is issue number 78 of the Intersect newsletter, by the way. Let's start with the software one, because that's the one that bothers me the most.
There's a piece of Mac OS software called Homework that's just been released. It's brand new, runs on Apple Silicon, ships in 2024, but it looks like something you'd find dusty in a 1970s recording studio. It has three modules, a four-track Porta Studio-style cassette recorder with effects, plus two modular synths modeled on classic 70s instruments.
Yeah. Giorgio Sancristoforo, the Italian sound designer and software developer behind it, is really known for building these granular, often deeply weird audio tools. Homework is his latest. The key thing to understand is that design choice you're pointing to. He absolutely could have built a clean, modern interface for a powerful new Mac. Instead, you get virtual patch cables, virtual knobs, that whole skeuomorphic ritual of plugging cable A into jack B, and the synth modules themselves, they're inspired by artists like Elian Radigy, famous for those long, slow, drone-based compositions. The software really does want you to slow down.
But this is the part that really bothers me. Why? You're on a modern Mac. You have infinite computational headroom, practically. Why pretend you're plugging a quarter-inch cable into a wooden box from 1973?
Exactly, that's the question. The curator, Jürgen, has been playing keyboards since the Casio CX-1, one of the first consumer MIDI synths, and he's watched how skeuomorphic and audio software has always been a little... Well, it's always been a little nonsensical from a pure efficiency standpoint. He's seen newer interfaces, ones designed from scratch without the cable and knob metaphor, get the same sonic results with far cleaner workflows. And yet, the skeuomorphic ones keep winning. They sell better. Musicians just seem to prefer them.
So it's not actually about the sound then, is it? Not just about the sound anyway.
I think it's about the ritual, that gesture of plugging in a cable, even if it's a fake one on the screen. It's part of what makes you feel like you're actually making music instead of just pressing buttons. And that connects right to the spine of this issue. Sancristoforo isn't necessarily moving the synthesizer forward with this design. He's reclaiming something the upgrade threw away. The question is whether that's pure nostalgia or if that old interface actually shapes the music differently.
I mean, probably both, right? Probably depending on the day.
This whole build it slow, feel it more thing just keeps showing up. Let me hit you with the next one before we get to it, though.
If you find yourself wondering why a musician in 2024 would want to solder their own synthesizer, then you're exactly the kind of person our newsletter is for. The Intersect isn't about hyping up AI, and it's not about clinging to tradition. It's about that friction between them, the questions that don't have neat answers. You can subscribe at theintersect.art. It's weekly issues curated by someone who's spent decades working on both sides of the art and technology line. Okay, speaking of soldering your own synth, I'll be honest, the idea of buying a musical instrument that arrives as a bag of components and a circuit board makes me a little nervous. And apparently people are lining up to buy it.
They are. That's the Music Thing Modular Workshop Computer. It's a Eurorack format module, so it fits into those big modular synth racks, and it's multifunction. What makes it unusual is that it uses hot swappable program cards. You pop one card out, slide another in, and the module becomes a different instrument, a sequencer, a sample player, an effects unit, whatever the card is programmed for. It's sold by Thunk, a British company specializing in DIY synth kits. The whole proposition is you build it yourself, then you play it.
So you're not just assembling it, you're actually learning about the circuits as you go, almost.
Exactly. This is the modular synth revival we've seen building for over a decade now. People who grew up with software synthesizers, VSTs, plugins, everything on a screen are now buying physical modules, soldering them together, and patching them with actual cables. The market for this stuff has really exploded. The curator, Jürgen, has an interesting read on this. He points out that 100 years ago, a Moog synthesizer wouldn't have been retro. It was the future. Now, artists are honoring the origins of instruments, building their own guitars, their own stringed instruments, their own modular synths. And this is happening at the same time that AI isn't just generating instrument sounds anymore. It's generating the songs, the genres, the writing. It makes you think about the distinction between innovation in instrument design versus innovation in sound generation. We're collapsing that distinction in some confusing ways right now.
That's a good point.
I hadn't thought about how those two things are different.
Jürgen actually pointed to a band called Engin de Poitrine, making microtonal music, sounds really unusual to a Western ear, using just a drummer and a guitarist plus looping technology. That's the same energy as a modular synth, a small set of constraints producing something genuinely new. Compare that to AI generating a generic song in any genre on request. Which one is actually moving music forward?
So is the workshop computer kit teaching people to think differently about sound, or is it just a comforting ritual for people overwhelmed by what AI can already do?
I think it's probably both, and that's the honest tension in the whole issue. There's a piece in the issue that puts
a frame around all of this, actually. Every time a new tool shows up in art, somebody declares the old medium dead. Photography killed painting. Synthesizers killed real music. Digital cameras killed film. AI is killing pick your favorite. And every single one of those predictions was wrong in that same specific way.
That's what this Design Observer piece by Ellen McGirt really nails. It traces that exact pattern. New technology does forge a new creative path, and some of it is revolutionary, some of it is just ordinary. But what always happens is that every wave of upgrade eventually summons a countermovement, one that reclaims whatever the upgrade tossed aside. Photography didn't kill painting, it forced painting to figure out what it could do that photography couldn't. Synthesizers didn't eliminate acoustic instruments, they created a whole new dialogue between them. The article even touches on Moog synthesizers, which we now think of as retro, even though they were once the cutting edge of futurism. That's precisely why San Cristoforo's homework software and the Music Thing Workshop computer kit aren't anomalies. They are the predictable countermovement to a decade of software making everything digital and instant. The Moog became retro. Film cameras became retro. So the big question now is, what's going to become retro as AI image generation matures? What's the counter movement to a tool that can produce any image in any style in 3 seconds?
You know, the curator really sees the photography parallel sharply here. Photography has died 1,000 times, from those early plates to large format view cameras, then point and shoot, digital, and now AI image generation. Music has followed a very similar path, and what he finds interesting is that the same Moog synthesizers that were once seen as futuristic are now used to make retro music, just like old film cameras are used for retro photography. The technology itself hasn't changed, but our relationship to it certainly has.
Right. So is this healthy? Is it a sign of artistic maturity that we can manage multiple eras of tools at once and just use each one for what it does best? Or is it more a sign of cultural exhaustion that we keep looking backwards because we're not sure what moving forward even looks like anymore?
That's the question the issue editorial really leans into, isn't it? When AI's counter movement eventually arrives, what exactly will it reclaim? Slowness, imperfection, maybe even human error itself.
It's hard to give a clean answer, and that's kind of the point of the whole thing.
Which brings us to the weirdest object in the whole issue. What if a piece of furniture wasn't meant to hold anything? What if the entire point of the table is that it makes one drawing slowly over 10 minutes and then it's done? That's Ralph Jacobs' harmonograph.
He's an artist based in the Netherlands, and he describes his work as being at the intersection of art, design, science, and signal. His harmonograph really is a physical machine. It looks like a small wooden side table, but it has a pendulum mechanism with a frictionless hinge. You set it swinging, and a drawing utensil traces the decaying motion of the pendulum across paper. Each drawing is unique because the starting conditions are always unique. That frictionless hinge gives the utensil enough momentum to produce these intricate mathematical-looking spirals, the kind of curves you might remember from old spirograph toys, but generated by actual physics instead of gears.
He writes, "Underlying my practice is the belief that art is a form of signal processing. Each work is a relic of interaction, a transmission captured, a behavior observed, a pattern retrieved from noise." That's a beautiful framing, but it's also doing a lot of work to justify what is, mechanically, a swinging stick with a pen attached.
Jürgen, the curator of this issue, actually had a spirograph as a kid and remembers the joy of those mechanical drawing devices. But the wrinkle for him is he doesn't quite get the furniture framing. It's a little wooden table you can't put anything on because it really is just a drawing machine. He felt that as fun and wacky as the object is, the design choice to call it furniture felt a bit like reaching. But then he wondered if maybe that's the point. You don't have to get it.
I wonder about that too. Calling it furniture isn't just decoration, it's a statement.
Exactly. It's saying this object belongs in your living space the way a chair does, not in the gallery the way a sculpture does. It's domesticating the slow, inefficient art-making process, putting it in your house, forcing you to live with a thing that takes 10 minutes to do what a plotter could do instantly.
Is God a meaningful gesture, or is it just well-designed cope? Maybe both. Maybe that's the only honest answer we have right now.
It really ties the whole issue together, doesn't it? San Cristoforo software, the workshop computer kit, the design observer piece, and now the harmonograph. Four objects, one gesture. Slow down, build it yourself, let the tool resist you a little. The counter movement is already here for music and image making. The harmonograph might be the first hint of what it looks like for everything else.
The thing that's been sitting underneath all of this, for me anyway, is that core question. Is deliberate inefficiency actually creative progress, or is it more about creative comfort?
And the honest read, I think, is probably both. It depends so much on the artist and what they're trying to get at on any given day. But what feels certain, to me at least, is that the counter movement to AI is already forming.
And it's not going to look like a simple return to anything we recognize.
No, it's going to look exactly like homework or the workshop computer or the harmonograph. It's these old gestures but in completely new costumes doing brand new work.
If this is the kind of question you want to sit with weekly, you should subscribe to our newsletter. You can find us at theintersect.art.
We send out a new issue every week. No hype, no doom, just the friction.
That was issue 78. We'll see you at 79.